everyone. Welcome back to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul and Aaron. Nope, just Aaron tonight. Paul is on vacation, although he isn't with us in the chat, so everyone can say hi to him there. Welcome to episode number 179, where it will be the Aaron Show. I think we'll just call it that for the evening. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Sharks week. Obviously, the big news of Erik Karlsson reaching 100 points, which is amazing. And we'll take a lot of questions up in the comments section, so keep them coming. In the comments, I'm going to try and fill time as I go here. So to start off the week, or the beginning of last week, we had Sharks playing against Colorado. Two games back-to-back. First one, they lost in overtime, 3-4. It was a heartbreaker. I remember watching this one. Actually, I was watching the overtime and seeing Nathan MacKinnon getting a breakaway. And Risey got the puck, and I was like, oh, okay, this is it. Game over. Here it is. And sure enough, he put it away. So he does not miss much. And I think that also put him at 100 points. So there's a lot of milestones that happened this week, I guess, for and against the Sharks. McDavid, I'll get there in a second. But MacKinnon gets to 100 points for the season. That's his first time that he's done it in his career, which is amazing. This guy has been firing on all cylinders, especially since they won the Cup last year. So this team kind of started off slow this year, maybe a little Cup hangover, and they are turning things on now. And the Colorado Avalanche look very much like the team they did last year. So sure enough, next, or actually let's go back to this game. Tomas Hertl gets kicked out of this game. He got upset because I think he took a high stick. The ref didn't see it. He's angry. He got hurt, and he's screaming at the ref, slams his stick against the glass. I think he breaks the stick. Goes to the bench, kind of cools off. Quinn comes over, talks to him. Hurdle's still pretty hot. Next shift, he comes out and is screaming at the ref yet again. And he gets a two-minute unsportsmanlike conduct, and then they eventually kicked him out for it. So he was very, very un-Hurdle-like. Not fun is always Hurdle, but angry Hurdle. This is the kind of Hurdle I like to see in the playoffs, but at the end of the regular season, with only a handful of games left and the Sharks way out of it, maybe he should have chosen a different way to do it. But anyway, the Sharks were down 3-1 going into the third period, and they tied the game unbelievably against this Colorado team. So I was kind of shocked to see that. Jacob Peterson picking up a goal and Kevin LeBanc picking up his second of the game. I'll get to Peterson in a little bit, but it's pretty cool that that Jacob Peterson is fitting right in on this team and looks pretty good. And it looks like a pretty good trade for Mike Greer here. Let's go into some of these comments here. Paul Sinceri saying, hey-o, and people saying back to him, hey, Paul. Let's see here. Is EK65 being traded? No, the headline's a little misleading. I think he will be during the summer. The trades are not even open right now anyway, so he wouldn't be able to go right now. Debbie says, hello. Hi, Debbie. Rob Spittler saying hello. And yeah, Scott V. Hurdle looked hurt after that high stick. Yeah, I think so. That's probably why he was upset. Upset because he got hurt. Upset because the ref was right there. You look at the replay and the ref is looking right at the play. So it's not like he was obstructed. He was right there. He saw the whole thing and just didn't call it. I feel like this happens a lot with the Sharks. They just don't get the calls. And people like to go back to the Vegas series of how Pavelski got hurt and they called it a 5-minute major. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's just the refs are human. That's it. That's the only excuse. They don't really care about these games. They don't care about the Sharks. They don't care about other teams. So, yeah, I don't think there's any ill will. I don't think there's any kind of major conspiracy thing going on. I think it's just, it is what it is. Following up this loss, this overtime loss to Colorado, the Sharks played them again two nights later. And this time they get smashed 6-2. Now, Colorado in the second period just kind of turned the Jets on. Sharks scored first, Erik Karlsson picking up his 23rd goal of the season. And then Mikko Rantanen ties it up maybe not even a little bit, a minute later after that. So goes into the first period 1-1, and then three goals. Boom, 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 pretty quick for Colorado. So the Sharks are now down 4-1. They did go one back, but at that point, the game was pretty much in hand. And after the game, Quinn, the coach, Sharks coach, had was asked about it. And the answer he gave kind of surprised me a little because – to me, this answer is kind of protecting his players in a way. It's not, to me, it sounds like he's kind of proud of what they did against this very, very good Colorado team. He's not really making excuses per se, but the question is pretty much like, okay, the Sharks, what happened in this game? You know, it seemed pretty close to the game before. Were you happy with how they played? And then the follow-up question is about the season series, all the games that the Sharks played against Colorado in the season and how the Sharks fared against them. And here is Quinn on his answers to those questions.
We just stunk. You know, we stunk on the power play. We stunk on the penalty kill. We stunk 5-on-5. Our forward stunk. Our defenseman stunk. We just stunk.
That is not the clip. Here's the actual clip. Thank you, Super Producer Jason.
Well, listen, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they're just better than we are. And at the end of the day, talent caught up to us over a two-game series. That's all that happened, really. And we were ready to play. We played hard. And it just got away from us in that stretch there. But usually that's what happens when talent usually wins out over time, and that's just what happened. No, there's really no other way to say it.
So, Coach, in a three-game series, I think Sharks led for 62 seconds total. Was that frustrating not to be able to build up any real momentum against them at all?
I mean, I don't really – the game there was really a one-off in a lot of ways because of all the – you know, we played Winnipeg the night before, got in late, you know, they're waiting for us. They lost three in a row. They were dialed in, and it was just a stinker. And so, I mean, I don't care about that. That doesn't mean anything. Like I just said, the talent level caught up to us by the end of this weekend, by the end of this two-game series. That's really what happened.
He explains it pretty well there. I think the talent level is very different between the Colorado Avalanche and the San Jose Sharks. He's not mincing any words, obviously. He's saying it as it is, and it's true. The Sharks just do not have the full talent level that the Colorado Avalanche obviously do. And what kind of sucks is Nico Sturm playing against his old team. I'm sure he's just going, man, I wish I was still on that team. But he's having himself a career year, so he's probably not, you know, missing out too much. Plus, I'm sure the ring feels really heavy on his hand, as it is anyway. So, Nick, HBK, not much difference between the two clips. Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much where what I was thinking. You could use that. That's why Super Producer Jason loves that clip, is because it could be used practically after every single game, especially on every show this week or every week that we have it. Peter St. John, I think it's tough to build and perform as a team if the team has no real continuity. The lineup keeps shifting, so chemistry is hard to build. Correct. But I think in this last month or two, the Sharks have had some injuries, so they've had to fill some gaps there. Some of those injuries, I'm sure they might have been able to play through. Some of them not, like the surgeries, obviously, with Eklund and I'm going to mess up his name, but Hoychuk, I think is what you say his name. Some of those, you know, they had to have surgery, but some of the guys that are being held out, I think if the Sharks were in a playoff race, they would be playing. Barabanov being one of them. That's a big, I think the Sharks are really missing him in their lineup, especially on that top line with Couture. So that's part of it. Yeah, you're not going to have chemistry, but they want to see what these young guys can do. Kind of gives them the taste of the NHL, bringing them up and showing them how to conduct themselves as a professional, in some cases playing for the first time in the NHL in front of the fans. I mean, not so many fans at SAP these days, but still it's a lot different than playing in the AHL or wherever else some of those guys have come from. So it gives them a little motivation to go, okay, this is what it's like to be in the best hockey league in the world and what I will need to do in order to stay in it next season, or in this case, at the end of this season, fighting for a position, fighting for a spot on the team, on the roster. And Mike, I see your question. Do you see the Sharks moving up in the draft, placing third worst? At this point, it's going to be up to the other teams and how they do. So Anaheim, Chicago, and Columbus are all below the Sharks right now. I'll get into this a little bit later, but yeah, and Rob just said, I'm just glad that the worst they'll end up in the draft is sixth now, but I prefer at least fifth, getting nervous for the lottery. I agree. I would feel more comfortable if they were heading into that lottery as third and fifth worst possibly. It can only get leapfrogged by two teams. That would feel better for me. I think a top five would be amazing. But yeah, and Paul just said, cool that Robin's got the call-ups. His family could go support him. He had a lot of family there tonight. I don't know if you guys saw this picture. I didn't pull it from for Super Producer Jason, but he had a number of tickets, probably like 15 or 20 of his family members were at this game tonight. And for rookies, whenever it's their first NHL game, the team always lets them skate out first for warmups, and they let them do a full lap by themselves without the team to kind of give them a little, you know, kind of like, a, I guess, a little raising with rookies. Not so nothing bad, but just kind of giving them the spotlight as well, so everyone can see the rookie is out there and having fun. So he got to go out there, and I thought he did all right tonight. So not terrible. Let's get into that game. I didn't even talk about the 17 game that much, but they got killed. So let's move on. The Sharks tonight against the Jets, they lost 6-2 as well. Let's look at this. The last three games, the Sharks have given up 6 goals in each game. Now, the Sharks were bad this year. Yes, they weren't losing like this up until the last week or two. And I am okay with it because they've been entertaining all year. At this point, the Sharks are just trying to close out. Now they only have 2 games left. They were shooting to get Erik Karlsson his 100 points, which he got tonight. I think these next 2 games are just going to be going through the motions. Calgary's obviously, they need to win. They're fighting for a playoff spot. They're fighting for their playoff lives. Winnipeg as well, which is why they were playing so hard tonight and didn't let off on the gas, because they are fighting with Calgary for that last playoff spot. And then they're finding up, they're finishing the season up against Edmonton. So that one won't be that one. I wouldn't be surprised if they hold some of their guys out, Edmonton holding some of their guys out for that game, just to make sure they don't get hurt. But yeah, going back to some of the questions here, Peter St. John, totally agree, Aaron, but if you can't put mostly the same guys on the ice, mostly it's tough. Guys are figuring each other out. Agreed. I agree. Like, the chemistry is just not there. This is why this is probably why the Sharks are losing by so many goals, because they have so many new people in their lineup. The chemistry is not there. And all the other reasons I just listed. So it's just different. Yeah, I think, and Rob said, I think Chicago has to win too, and the Ducks need to win in an overtime loss for the Sharks to move up. So it's unlikely. I think we're getting to that point where we're not going to see much movement down at the bottom. So I think if anything, it's going to jockey between Columbus, Chicago, and Anaheim, because they're all within 1 or 2 points of each other. So yeah. All right, going into the game tonight, Erik Karlsson scores 2 goals tonight. So not only did he get his 100th point, he got his 99th and 100th points scoring goals. Now, this is awesome. We have a tweet here. This is for the Sharks, sent this out, this 100 points. It's an autographed picture of Erik Karlsson. It's really cool they put this together. And I'm sure they had put this in or put this together beforehand. But really cool, really exciting, really happy for Erik Karlsson. I hope this solidifies his Norris Trophy, winning the Norris Trophy at 32 years old. And coming off of the last 4 or 5 seasons of not being healthy, just unreal. 25 goals, 75 assists. Yeah, actually, let's forget this Winnipeg game. Let's just get into it. Here's the alternate captain, Erik Karlsson. Second.
Fire in the hole.
In the hole. I don't know if that got cut off or that was just on my end. Erik Karlsson, this last week, he had 4 games played. He scores 3 goals, 2 assists, -7. It's very Sharks-like. And 5 shots on goal. So 80 games played so far in the season. 25 goals, 75 assists to get his 100 points, -21, and 205 shots on goal. How freakish is it that he got 25 goals and 75 assists? It's such round numbers. It's crazy. But him getting 100 points, he's leading defenseman. I pulled this stat before even today. He was leading defenseman. The next highest scoring defenseman was 25 points away from him. Now it's a little bit more. I'm not even going to look it up right now, but 25 plus points away from the next place. Yes, Erik Karlsson is the best defenseman in the league. Best defensive defenseman? No. Best scoring defenseman? Absolutely. This should be the Bobby Orr Award. They should award the Norris Trophy to the best defensive defenseman. That will shut up all of the naysayers about Karlsson. There's no reason he should not get 100% of the votes. The only people that are not voting for him are ones that live on the East Coast and sleep early and miss out on all of the Sharks games. It's crazy that people would even consider anyone else for the Norris Trophy. So, yes, 100 points. The first person to do it since Brian Leetch in 91-92, I believe. So was that 31 years ago? 31 seasons ago? That's insane. That's absolutely insane. And the fact that he's doing it at 32 years old is just even better. Like that to me now, everyone that says, oh, you know, his $11.5 million salary, this justifies it. This justifies him having that salary. Number of factors here, trading Brent Burns away. So that is just Erik Karlsson. We said this before the season. I mean, I wasn't expecting 100 points. No offense to Erik Karlsson. I was expecting 70. I would have been happy with 70 this season. But to get to 100, that's just absolutely insane. And Kellen said, Hurdle grabbed that puck in the net immediately after Karlsson scored. And yes, Peter, it would be a horrible slap in the face if the NHL does not give him the Norris Trophy. Can he get to 30 goals? No. He's going to have to score 5 goals in the next 2 games. That's not going to happen. Still, 25 goals. He's also the first, I think I had this tweet up, and I don't have it up now. But there was a cool stat here. I'll pull it up real quick on my own here. But he is the 4th defenseman in NHL history to have 25 goals and 75 assists in a season. Bobby Orr did it 5 times. Paul Coffey did it once. And Al MacInnis did it once. And Al MacInnis was the last to do it in the 90-91 season. He's also the 11th different player in NHL history to record a 100 points during his 32-age plus season. Only Wayne Gretzky has 2 at the age of 32 plus. So that is a very, very high company here. Again, I'm like almost speechless. It's unbelievable what this man is doing this season. So not on top of that, on top of the points, he's played every game. Every Sharks game, 80 games, assuming he's going to play the next 2, and I don't see why not, unless he gets hurt, knock on wood. This will be the first 82-game season for him since 2015-16, when he was in Ottawa. And I believe that was the last time he won his Norris Trophy. A healthy Erik Karlsson equates to a Norris Trophy. That doesn't suck. Oh, Paul was here. That was nice. High five, Paul. Boop. all right. Yeah. His ability to make a very player he plays with better is unparalleled. I think he meant every. I think that was a mistake. His ability to make every player he plays with better is unparalleled. I agree. I think he is the best playmaking defenseman, probably one of the best playmakers at all, not just defenseman in the season. Let's go ahead and close out here with the closing graphic of alternate captain Erik Karlsson.
Abandon ship!
This show is flowing. It's flowing with just me here, just talking. All right, we're going to do roll call right now. Can you tell me where you are watching us from? And do you think Karlsson is going to go to Edmonton? Do you think somewhere else? Or you think he's going to stay in San Jose? And there's already some questions in here. Is it worth keeping him in a rebuild by Rob Spittler? To me, I don't feel like the Sharks need to move him. Assuming the Sharks can maybe move a little bit more salary out going into next year. Let's say one more guy is out of here that has a bigger contract. I don't think they have to move him. I don't think it's a necessity. I think they could build around this guy. He's going to make those young guys better. They're going to see there's a lot of young defensemen that the Sharks have picked up in this one season alone. They've really revamped their prospect pool of defensemen. I feel like it's fairly solid. Obviously, they don't have a blue chip, like a number one guy out there, but that could be coming next draft, next year, because next year's draft is filled with more top-end defensemen versus this draft that's going to this upcoming draft that's going to have top-end offensive skater talent. So to me, if the Sharks were to move him, the trade would have to be right. Obviously, I think his trade value has skyrocketed since he both played, assuming he plays the next two games, a full 82-game season. So no injuries, and obviously putting up over 100 points. Do I expect him to hit 100 points again? No. Would I expect 60 to 70? Absolutely. Assuming he's staying healthy, he's still a point-per-game player. So if he can stay 70 to 80 games, that's a 78 points. That's pretty good. Now, the rumors out there, Edmonton apparently, this kind of came out after the trade deadline. Edmonton was going hard for him at the deadline. And I think the thing that held them back was the amount of salary retention that the Sharks would not do. So they would need to move some pieces in the offseason to really make it work. Another team that's out there is the Detroit Red Wings, which I had mentioned before weeks ago, I think after the deadline or before the deadline. Detroit obviously loves Swedish players. Steve Yzerman is there. He's the GM. Detroit has the salary cap where they wouldn't need any salary retained. They have a lot of assets to give up that I'm sure they would be actually comfortable giving up, because they're at that point where the Sharks should be in the next 3-4 seasons, where they're kind of getting, they have all the pieces, and now they're trying to make it just a little bit better, get over that edge and get into the playoff spot and do some damage. So having a player like Erik Karlsson there, talk about going to a rebuilding team. This team is already past that rebuilding point and ready to strike. So I could see him going to the Red Wings. I could see Edmonton and the Red Wings kind of getting into maybe a bidding war, which is always going to benefit the Sharks here. So the price just goes up. I think trading him to Detroit versus trading him to Edmonton for Karlsson, he has a full no movement and full no trade clause, no movement clause. So it's harder to deal with, because he could just be like, I don't want to live in Detroit. I don't want to live in Edmonton. Now, Edmonton is very special because of Connor McJesus. Connor McDavid got 150 points this year. That's the first time anyone's done that since Mario Lemieux or Jagr in the 90s? Like, just, it's unreal what they're doing in Edmonton. Going to Edmonton, think of how many, Paul and I talk about this all the time, the breakout passes that Erik Karlsson nails and how many guys get breakaways from it, but they can't finish. And I know exactly who Paul's going to talk about, and I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But imagine if you're passing now Erik Karlsson is making those stretch breakout passes to Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins. You're springing those guys for breakaways and they do not miss. So 150 points, I mean, McDavid could possibly even get another 30, 40 points there. Close. He can get closer to 200, which would just be insane. I thought 150 points would be insane. But adding him to that formula, to that team, I think would boost everyone, obviously. And Erik Karlsson as well. If he were to go to Edmonton, I would actually think 100 points would be possible again for Erik Karlsson. That team would just be, it would be great, because it's not that I want to see Edmonton win a cup. But what's cool about the NHL is the NHL is a copycat league. So they look at what formula did the team that just won the cup use. And if it's all offense, guess what? Every team, I mean, obviously they're not going to get McDavid, but they're going to focus on offense instead of defense. That means more Erik Karlsson type defenders versus, I don't know, Trouba defenders that are just giant men pushing other people around, just big hits. That's kind of the old school way of doing things. You see a lot more run and gun. You'll see a lot more run and gun teams, higher scoring, more exciting to me. I think everyone loves goals. Everyone loves points. Everyone's freaking out about how many points all these guys are scoring. So that just goes to show like what would be best for the NHL, I guess, in a way. I don't know. I think it would be really cool. So here we go. Let me go through some of these comments here. Grandizer, why could we not have had this type of season with Carlson when we first got him? The luck of the Sharks. He was on his way. He started off that season cold. He did not do very well in the beginning of the season. But by Christmas time, I remember doing the show, we were blown away at how many points he was getting. I think he had like 22 points in 14 or 15 games at one point. But then he tore his groin. I think it was his groin. He had some kind of injury. And obviously, he missed some time. But when he came back a little too early. And that was against, I remember, the Bruins game. And you could see, you could almost hear or see the point at where his groin just tears again when he was skating back. And I think it was Bergeron or somebody just burned him and scored a goal against him. And he left that game and he was out. Came back for the playoffs that year. Was not 100%. Couldn't skate. Couldn't fully skate. Erik Karlsson's game, I would say most of it is his skating, even more than his playmaking. His skating gets him in position for those playmaking abilities. His skating helps him cheat a little bit on offense because he can get back on defense. His skating gets him in position defensively to break up passes, break up shots. When you take that away, he's not the same person. So, it's unfortunate because there were flashes of what we're seeing now, and he got hurt. And then on top of that, he re-signed with the Sharks after that season. And to me, the re-signing of Erik Karlsson and all those kickbacks to Ottawa is what hurt the Sharks more than the original trade. Yeah, Josh Norris, we lost Josh Norris. But guess what? Josh Norris has been hurt a lot. He hasn't even played a ton of NHL games yet. So, yes, he's a great player. He's going to be a star player. But imagine if we didn't make that trade and we have Josh Norris on the team and he's constantly hurt. I don't know. There's just too many what ifs. The big what if is that non-protected first-round pick. Nobody thought the Sharks were going to be garbage a year after they get the following season after the conference finals. Nobody saw that. And that kickback now, what's funny is that it's not even legal. You can't do it anymore. So you can't trade a player and say, if they re-sign here, another draft pick goes to that team that he came from. And I think it stems from this trade because it's not really fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that they get to dictate where he signs next. He can sign anywhere he wants. That to me, that's not he's a UFA. He could do whatever he wants. Like it's just not, it wasn't right. It never should have been there in the first place. Anyway, getting off topic here. Let me see some more of these comments here. Yeah, can you imagine if he was in Edmonton? Yikes. Every team is going to say, well, yeah, 100 points in 80-plus games with a boatload of minutes at age 32, but he's 33 now, so he's old and we'll take him for cheap. Nobody's getting him for cheap. He's... to me, I think Erik Karlsson, the way he plays, he's not a hard-hitting defenseman. So he's going to be a lot more durable. Some of those injuries are just kind of bad luck. I think now that he's mentally in a better space, physically better because he's coming into camp in shape. He did this year. I think, and he knows he's older. You know, there's a point in your life where you're like, wow, I can't just go out there and skate anymore. I have to actually take care of my body outside of hockey, eat right, do all the kinds of things. Look, Brent Burns had that moment where he said, I need to stop eating like a trash panda and start putting this all together. And he is still playing like he's 32 and he's 38 now, 39, 38. I don't know. So nutrition, plyometrics, all kinds of new stuff that new words, new exercises, new things that players 20 years ago never even heard of. is helping longevity here. So yeah, I think I still think Erik Karlsson will be an effective player even through his entire contract. Will he be worth $11.5 million on the last year of his contract? Probably not. But I'm still thinking he'd be a 50-60 point defenseman by then. And that's nothing to really sneeze at. That's not bad. Imagine having Erik Karlsson as your top four defenseman. Not your top defenseman, your top four. Here's the guy that's going to run your power play and still make things happen on the second pairing defenseman. That's pretty scary in a couple years. Let's see. Orange County, I think San Jose keeps EK100 unless there's a great return. The team is a playoff contender. The Stars really have to align for him to get moved. Peter St. John, maybe Edmonton will trade Evander back to us. Yeah, right. Paul, I want him to get moved so he could play for a cup and the Sharks can move the rebuild along, but I'm happy to keep him if other teams trying to lowball. I agree. And yes, Peter, bite your tongue. Thank you, Debbie. Callan just said it was a Karlsson rule. I think he's talking about the kickbacks that they're no longer allowed because of Karlsson trade. In my opinion, Jumbo is the quintessential role model about year-round healthy choices. I agree. Him and Burns were both very good mentors, and I'm glad to see Joe Thornton around a lot with the Sharks organization still. I was actually shocked because I remember when he sold his house, I was like, I thought that was it. He's done. And I thought for sure he's going to move to Switzerland where his wife is from. Not Sweden. Thank you. I got that right. Finally. He likes to spend the summers there. So I assumed, you know, he's retired. He's done. He's going to go live over there and probably never see him in the Bay again, but I'm very happily surprised and happily wrong about that because I didn't realize he owned a second home in the San Jose area, which makes sense of why he would sell the first one. So glad he's still around. Love seeing him. He's very not incognito with that giant beard still. So everybody always sees him. You always see pictures of him on social media of people running into him and seeing him there. His kids play hockey. I think Paul's seen him a few times. So very active. He goes to a lot of Barracuda games. He's around a lot of the young guys. He's one of those rink rats that probably can't be pried away from the rink. So he's going to be around a long time. But it's good because the Sharks are turning a corner, adding a lot of prospects. They went from one of the worst prospect pools in the entire league to, I would say, middle of the pack now at this point. A lot's going to change this upcoming draft depending on who they get. Whatever. And Scott Cage just said, Aaron doesn't read my comments because he's upset with his new haircut. Scott, I must have missed your comments. I'm sorry. It's really hard to do this solo, and I don't really have time, and I have to fill in the blank space here with a lot of ums and talking. But yeah, it's really hard not to do that too. And Paul just said he's getting groomed for something in the org. I feels it. Yeah, I don't think he's ready yet. I think he's ready to be a dad for a little bit and a hockey dad. He's going to be around, but I don't think he wants not yet. I think in a couple of years, he's going to want something more of a formal role. But I can't imagine him at this point going to any other organization. So he will be with the Sharks at some point. Let's get into some other stuff here. Tonight, I don't know if you guys saw this, but former captain and former Shark, Joe Pavelski, got his 1,000th point tonight on, I'm sure you're going to guess, tipping in a goal. He tipped in a goal and got his 1,000th point. And this is another tweet I saw, which I didn't send to Super Producer Jason, but Joe Pavelski is the third Shark to get drafted that has scored 1,000 points in the NHL. The other two being Patrick Marleau and Ray Whitney. There's a throwback for you. Ray Whitney was one of the Sharks' first picks back in the day. I think that is when the big thing where the Sharks weren't allowed to have the number one overall pick for their first season. They gave him number two because Eric Lindros was coming in the league. So, yeah. So Ray Whitney and Patrick Marleau joined now by Joe Pavelski. It's pretty cool. I want to get in some other stuff here. Since Paul's not here, I'm going to spend some time on a certain player. One of my favorites. In fact, I think it's going to be one of Paul's favorites because I'm going to have to buy him a jersey for him.
Oh, you know, I can't lie. It was, you know, a lot last.
I'm trying here. Noah Gregor. He had a six-game stretch here where he had 4 goals and 4 assists and was a +2. Now, Noah Gregor, notoriously in the beginning of the season or throughout the season, had been scratched. He wasn't in the lineup. He was kind of in between there because he wasn't going to the AHL either. So he was a healthy scratch, basically practicing with the team and traveling with them, but not playing. He worked his way into the lineup, and he's been playing pretty well these last, I'd say, two, 3 weeks. He's had probably his best stretch of hockey in the NHL. Here's a question. This is coming from Quinn, from the coach, asked about Gregor, and this is the man who is putting him in or not putting him into the lineup. So this is what Quinn had to say about Noah Gregor in his game.
Just playing with more of an edge and more consistent compete. You know, obviously he's got that speed that everybody sees when you go from zone to zone, but there's also another element in this game, playing fast. You know, when the game's within a zone and you got to make quick decisions and whatnot, and you got to be competitive in all your battles, and I think he's made great strides in those areas.
I agree wholeheartedly, Coach. It's a great assessment of Noah Gregor, one of the best players on the San Jose Sharks. Paul said, what, did I miss something? No, does Noah have 10 goals? Not yet, Paul. Not yet. He's not yet have 10 goals. He's sitting at 8. Yeah, anyway. So, Scotty K wants to talk about goaltending. I'll get there in a second. I'm going to talk about a couple more players here. Some other standouts. Jacob Peterson, this guy, I have been impressed with this guy. I didn't realize kind of how much he's been showing up on the score sheet lately. Mainly because I feel like the Sharks have been losing a lot lately and losing by a lot of goals, but he's on a little point streak here. He picked up another point tonight. He actually had the very, very nice assist on Erik Karlsson's 24th goal, his 99th point tonight. It was a give and go back and forth between him. It was like, wow, it was like they drew that play up. It was amazing. Anyway, he's on a, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game point streak. Jacob Peterson missed a point and then had another one before that. So what is that? His last 10 games or 9 games? He's got 8 points in 9 games. This is a guy who, before he came to the Sharks, had less than 70 games in his NHL career. So this is pretty awesome. In fact, let's see his career stats. He's had 66 games before this, 17 points in 66 games. He now has 8 points in 9 games. This is another player that was asked by Coach Quinn about what they thought, what he thought was for it. So here's Quinn's thoughts on Peterson.
He sure is. He's done a good job since he's been up here.
What does he do specifically that you kind of really like right now?
I love his poise and his smarts. I mean, he makes good plays with the puck. He's got offensive anticipation when he gets it. He's just a smart player.
That's a glowing review from a guy who basically is going to decide if you are going to be in the lineup or not. And not just for this season, but going forward into next season. This is a guy who the Sharks traded Scott Reedy for. I don't know if you remember Scott Reedy, because he never really played for the Sharks, but immediately making an impact in the lineup. This is amazing. And Scott Reedy, I'm just looking up on his contract here. Or sorry, not Scott Reedy. Jacob Peterson. He is an RFA after the season. So he's at the league minimum. He's 23 years old. I think that was a fantastic trade. No offense to Reedy, but this is a new regime, and Reedy was not one of the players that Greer thought was one of his guys. So that kind of a swap for a guy who probably needed a change of scenery out of Dallas and has a better path getting to the NHL, kind of similar to Henry Thrun, which we'll get into next. But this is we're seeing some potential players that's going to make the roster next season. And I'm not saying that Peterson's going to be a top six guy, but having a third line guy that can put up some points. I think that's very beneficial to any team, not just the Sharks. So good for him. He's fighting for a spot, and this is fantastic. Let's see. What's going on in the chat here? Peter St. John, going back to Noah Gregor. I love Noah. However, I get the feeling he's pretty frustrated and might not be wanting to be in San Jose again. I don't know. I don't feel like he's being frustrated. I think he's finally putting everything together and becoming a more complete package player at the NHL level versus speed and shots missing the goal. So I think he'll stick around. Plus, he's an RFA after the season. So, yeah. Anyway, Kellen talking about Peterson. He's stuck behind some guys in the Dallas roster. He just wasn't going to pass Dellandrea and Raxa. I think it's Raska, Raxa. I can't remember. But yeah, I think it was a depth chart thing, and he needed to change the scenery and a better path to the NHL. I agree, and he's running with it. He's great. PSJ from Paul. I know, but the contention between Aaron and I is him being a 10 goal scorer, so I get to pound that theme into the ground. Man, I hope Gregor scores 2 goals, Paul. If he does, I think Twitter's going to blow up and everyone's going to be coming at you, maybe in the comments too on here. All right, next player we're going to talk about is Daniel Gushin. Daniel Gushin, we talked about him last week because he got sent back down to the Barracuda. He played 2 games with the Sharks. He had a goal in one game and an assist in the other, and then gets sent back down. I think maybe Guerrero's like, hey, Gushin, calm down. I don't want the league to know about you yet, so we need you to go back to the Barracuda because you're making us lose some ground here and in the tank season. I'm just kidding, of course. I honestly think that they needed him more at the Barracuda level because they are trying to push for a playoff spot, and he is one of the best players. That and on top of losing William Eklund to shoulder surgery, I think was a big deal for the Barracuda. So Goose, yeah, the Goose from Kellen Foster. That's I guess that's Gushin's nickname, the Goose. I'm excited for this guy. He's a little small forward, but he, for his size, he's pretty strong on the puck. He protects it well, goes into the corners. I feel like every time I watch him, he's doing something. Like, you notice him on the ice. He kind of reminds me of, like, not quite similar type player, but Barabanov. Barabanov is a guy that I really enjoy watching play because I feel like he's very smart player, obviously skilled, and deceptively good. Like, you kind of look at Barabanov and you think he's a little small, but he uses his body well and positioning and gets into a lot of dirty areas, picks pockets, and I feel like Gushin has an elite NHL wrist shot. If Noah Gregor could steal his wrist shot, Noah Gregor would be close to the next McDavid. That maybe not quite, but you know, understand what I'm saying? Like, Gregor has one skill set that's elite, and that's his skating. Gushin has the wrist shot and hopefully more. He's just a little bit younger, a little bit more raw and kind of coming into his game. But yeah, his shot, it gives me hope that this guy's going to be a good top 6 winger. I mean, imagine William Eklund to me is not going to, I feel like at this point, he's not going to be a first line player. I feel like he's going to be a second line player. Same with, like, to me, what I'd be excited about next season would be, if they put Gushin, Eklund, and Bortolo on a line, a kid line, and just say, go at it. I think that would be awesome. They'll have a lot of bumps along the way, but I think that would be a really cool way to see them kind of grow together and get that chemistry to go. And if they can get all 3 of those guys together. Bortolo's kind of like a good all-around player. Eklund's a playmaker, and Gushin is a sniper, man. I think that would be really cool. Next player I'm going to talk about is Henry Thrun. He's been getting some good minutes here. Let's see in his last, I didn't look at today's game, how he's doing, but let's pull this up. Tonight he had 18 minutes. So he's logging the least amount of ice time that he's had in a game is 18 minutes and 23 seconds. And that was the first Colorado game this week. The most he's had is 21 minutes, 21:50, almost 22 minutes against Edmonton. That's amazing. And he's an even. He's a plus one, plus two, then a minus one and a minus one. So he's actually a plus one. Plus one in six games on a very bad team, on a team that has given up six goals in each of the last three games. That's pretty impressive. This is a win for me, for Greer. Paying a third round pick for this guy. I think he was picked in the fourth round, but giving up a third round pick for him, realizing that he wanted out of Anaheim. There was a connection there with the Boston connection because he's from the Boston area. I believe Quinn coached him back in BC, or I can't remember if it was BC or BU. And then Todd Marchant, who used to work for Anaheim as the player development guy, coach, and is now on the Sharks staff doing the same role. So there was a lot of connections there. I think this is going to be a pretty solid signing for the Sharks. I'm excited. I'm excited to see it all kind of come together. And moving on to let's take a look at the standings now. So the standings in the NHL, I actually got to pull it up here because hopefully it is now updated after the games from tonight. Sometimes they're a little slow in doing this, but the Sharks, after losing that game tonight, are sitting in 29th, which is fourth from the bottom. They are at 60 points. Anaheim's at 58. Columbus and Chicago each at 56. Sharks have two games left. Anaheim has two games left. Chicago has two games left. Columbus has three games left. So the next team behind the Sharks in terms of standings are Montreal at 68 points. They're not going to catch them. So at worst, the Sharks will be fourth, going into the lottery fourth. At best, they'd only be able to get to – they'd really only going to be competing with I don't think Columbus will go on a three-game winning streak. So just Anaheim. It's going to come down to Anaheim. So they could either go into it as third or fourth. Oh, sorry, David. I you're right, David. Going back to the run, he went to Harvard, not – Boston, but Harvard is in the Boston area. I knew there was a Boston connection there somewhere. Where's your next? Just ask who could be the real franchise goalie for the Sharks. I don't believe anybody in the organization right now is going to be a franchise goalie. Franchise goalies are really difficult to find. Mike Greer has been asked about this a lot. And to me, from his answers that he's been giving in most interviews or questions asked of him, I feel like he's done revamping the defensive prospects. Next, he's going to focus on, to me, goaltending. I think he's looking for either somebody else in somebody's organization that's a prospect, or he's going to be drafting someone this upcoming draft, or both. This draft doesn't have a ton of very strong goalies. That's part of the problem. And we actually in the Fantasy Hockey League, we have a chat room in there, and a lot of the guys are actually in this show tonight. I think we talked about this kind of talked about how scoring in the NHL has gone up and what are the reasons for it. One of the reasons, there's not one reason for it, but one of the reasons is goaltending. Goaltending has changed. They reduced the size of the pads at the last CBA agreement. That was part of it. Part of it is the older top goalies in the league are aging out. So they're getting slower, a little bit worse. I mean, look at Gibson down in Anaheim. He used to be top five goalie in the league, making Anaheim a very strong team, even when they didn't have a strong team. Now he's not good. He's not there anymore. So you're seeing players like that. You're seeing a different kind of goalie coming in. Bobrovsky's another one that was he's won the what's the trophy for goalie? I'm blanking on the name. He's won it a few times, and he he's in Florida now and he's getting older. So I think I think that's part of it. And we just haven't seen that new crop of goalies really come in. I mean, we have Vasilevsky right now. The top two goalies are probably Vasilevsky in Tampa Bay and the Rangers goalie. Oh my gosh. I need some coffee. I obviously need some coffee. Lundqvist. Wow. There's a throwback. I got to pull it up now because now it's going to bug me and someone's going to say it in stats before. Oh, the Vezina trophy. Thank you. Shesterkin. Yeah. I'm sure people are screaming at their TVs right now and their headphones and they're listening on the podcast about this. Those two guys are pretty much the top two goalies in the league and they're one of the few that are going to be logging heavy minutes. There's not very many. And when Greer's asked about goaltending, he said, there's only about one or two GMs that sleep nice at night. And the rest of them are always worrying about their goaltending, including the Sharks. So there's not a lot of prospects. I know a lot of people were hoping that the Sharks were going to draft the goalie that I believe Minnesota ended up getting. And let's see who that guy is. It's Wallstedt. Jesper Wallstedt. Goaltending prospects for me, it's hard unless you're like such a top blue chip for sure person coming in. There's not a lot there because goalies develop different. So, yeah, look at all these Vezina, Shesterkin, all these people. Everyone's saying Shesterkin. Funny. I'm fading here. I'm getting tired. Anyway, goaltending is a very tough position. It's going to be hard to draft for. I don't think there's a lot in this, and Graham is not here tonight to back me up here, but he always says it as well that the crop of goaltenders that are in this draft probably are not worth it. I would think you'd wait until next year's draft to really get a high-end one. I wouldn't be surprised if we see them sign one, but anyway, Magnus Crona signed a 2-year entry-level deal, and that's kind of a big deal because right now the only two goaltenders signed into next season at this point, and this might change in the summer, is Kaapo Kähkönen and Magnus Crona. Aaron Dell and who's the other one? James Reimer are unrestricted free agents, so they most likely are going to be gone. Strauss Mann and Eetu Mäkäniemi are both restricted free agents going into next season. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets signed, maybe Mäkäniemi, because that was a guy that I think that's the one that Greer went after or traded for. So, to me, from what Greer has been saying, is that they're targeting some players in the offseason, some goalies to get, or a goalie. So I wouldn't be surprised if this summer we see some, not just with the Sharks, but a lot of goaltender movement. You usually see it in the summertime. Not so much trades, but free agents and such going. And I'm going to look real quick for going into next season. How many free agents are there that are going in as goalies? I'm going to pull this up. I swear I know how to do this quickly. So, top goalies. Oh, man. Okay, maybe I can't do this that quickly. Man, it's nice when Paul's here because he can just keep talking while I'm looking up this stuff. All right, there we go. Goalies. Top goalies. Jonathan Quick. Nah. Varlamov. Nah. Bishop. Anderson. Bernier. Talbot. The first player that is going in that is under 30 is Tristan Jarry. Not great. Not a great. Nedeljkovic in Detroit is another one. He's had some issues outside of hockey. Mackenzie Blackwood's interesting. He's an RFA. Martin Jones. Can you imagine the Sharks re-signing Martin Jones? That mean they're paying him twice because they're still paying his buyout? And there's just not a lot of good goalies that are going to be on the market. So it's a tough, tough position to fill at this point in the NHL kind of life cycle, because there's not a lot of, I remember when goaltending was so good that there was like almost too many good goalies out there and there was no goalie movement because teams were happy with their goaltending. Very different feel now. But yeah, goaltending is just, that's a really tough one. Who was it that brought that up? Was that, I think it was Scott that wanted to talk about goaltending. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Some injuries. I kind of mentioned this before, but Ahoychuk, he underwent surgery, so he's done for the season. And who's the other one? William Eklund was another one that went under surgery. He had shoulder surgery. So hopefully those two will be ready in time for training camp. That would really suck if they missed time or if they weren't coming back. But the Sharks are missing a lot. Mark Edward Vlasic was out with an injury and doesn't sound like he's going to be coming back for the next two games. I don't think he made the road trip. So that sucks. He's going to miss the last two games. Bear Bonhoff, I mentioned earlier, is out. Andreas Johnsson and Oscar Lindblom also out. Doesn't look like any of them will be back. So again, if the Sharks were in a playoff spot or fighting for one, I think those guys would be playing. But at this point, why risk making it worse? And why risk, if you don't need surgery, making it worse to make you need surgery? So a lot of holes to fill in the lineup. We're going to see a lot more of those younger guys coming up and trying to show off what they can do. And like what we showed last week, the clip of, I believe it was Noah Gregor was talking about it, saying that guys are playing for pride and playing for show that they can be in the NHL, stay in the NHL, and maybe not on the Sharks, but just in general, stay in the NHL and show other teams that they can do it. Scotty K, thank you for the goaltender talks, Aaron. You're welcome. Yeah, anyway, Paul's talking about for Reimer, he wants to sign for a contender, and we didn't even trade him to one. We can acquire a goalie via trade, but I don't think it matters yet. Sharks will be poor for a little bit longer. I doubt they re-sign Dell, but who knows? I don't think Aaron Dell. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Dell retires, because he didn't really get a sniff at the NHL much this season unless there was injuries. He's a good third goalie to have, because if you do have two injuries, at least you have some NHL experience, a guy with NHL experience jumping up there. But, I mean, he's 33 at this point. I wouldn't be shocked if I don't see him sign somewhere. Or, I mean, if he doesn't sign somewhere and he retires. Yeah, personally, Peter St. John, personally, I agree, Paul. Focus needs to be on the five players in front of the goalie. I think Greer's going to go after a hot prospect that could turn into a stud goalie down the road, not someone that's going to be a stud right now. I think there's kind of, if you look at all the players that he's acquiring, there's kind of a natural timeline of their progression and when they're all going to hit that at once. The way he's trying to time it. So they always talk about usually the players in the draft, the first four or five players that are in the draft every year, roughly the first five players could play in the NHL the next year. They're ready. The next, say 15 to 20, depending on the year, would probably need at least a year before they can make the jump. Sometimes two. And then you're getting 3-4 years out, 5 years out, because they need to develop. They need to do things. So the Sharks right now, a lot of these guys that were on the Barracuda were not on the Barracuda last year. They were at their junior level. They were playing in other countries. They're doing other things. So next year, I think we're going to see some of those guys kind of graduate to the NHL, like maybe Eklund, maybe Bortolo, maybe Gushin. But everyone else, especially the crop of new guys that are going to be drafted this upcoming draft, are going to be at that Barracuda level and going to need at least another year or two. So to me, the natural progression would be in not next season, but the one after. I could see one more season of the Sharks being bad, getting a top pick in next year's draft, which is very defensive heavily. That's where you're going to get your top stud blue chip prospect defenseman that is going to be like almost an NHL all-star at some point in their career. Adding that to your lineup, along with all the other pieces that they just gathered this year, this season. Like, to me, all the guys that they got this season are complimentary players, NHL players, but not stud number one defensemen. That could happen next year's draft. This year's draft is so offensive heavy that you're going to revamp your prospects at the skater level, the forward level, easier. And yeah. Here's a off-topic question from Scotty K. Will you guys return to a well-decorated film set? Not that the floating heads are terrible, but I liked your brother's garage in the old school setting with the bobbleheads. Yes, I will address this because I know we're getting a lot of questions about this. We are currently working on a new set, and hopefully our timeline is to have it ready by June. This will be, again, at Super Producer Jason's house, not necessarily in the garage, but we're working on designing and building the set. So that would be, I guess you can consider that next season, because it will be hopefully done by the actual NHL draft. And I forget the date. I always forget the date. But the draft is June 28th and 29th. So we're shooting for that date to be ready to rock in our new studio. I don't want to give too much away, but we will have on the set at somewhere our fantasy hockey trophy, because we have a keeper league, fantasy hockey league, that we started this season. And they're actually in the finals, and Graham is in the finals against Nicholas Egan. And right now Graham has a big lead on him. So I believe, I don't know if Nicholas is in tonight. I know Graham is not. I can't remember if Nicholas is in here. Yeah, the finals will be done at the end of the NHL regular season this week. So we will know who the winner is by next week. And that trophy will be on the set, on display, and their names will be engraved on the trophy. So it'll always be on the set from here on forward once we have an actual set. I mean, I should just build like a shelf and the floating, have a floating trophy behind my head, but super producer Jason said no. So yeah, we will have a new set for next season. I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to be in person with Paul, because we lose a lot of back and forth when we're online, and sometimes we have problems with our internets, which I was last week. So I think that will be a much better season for next year, and the Sharks will be better, hopefully, or not. Maybe we don't want them to be that good so that they can get another top pick. But I don't want them to be forever missing the playoffs a la Buffalo Sabres or the Edmonton Oilers for a good decade.
We just stunk.
Yeah, that would just suck. So, upcoming games. There's only two left this week. Sharks are at Calgary, and then they finish the season in Edmonton. And I forgot to put which days. I believe they are. Let's take a look. Wednesday in Calgary. And Thursday, so back-to-back. Thank you, NHL Scheduling, for scheduling a back-to-back away games to finish out the season. Was it Nick? Nick in the comments was saying he is going to be there. He's in Calgary right now, and he's going to those last two games. So that's pretty awesome. I'm a little jealous and excited for you. So Nick also wanted to know, will pie be served at the new set? Now, those who don't know, last year we had a bet between Paul and I that Noah Gregor would get to 10 goals. And if not, I was going to take a pie in the face. He got to 9 goals. So I am owed a pie in the face, but we don't have a set and we haven't been in person really. So we haven't been able to do it. So now the other bet this season is if he does get to 10 goals, Paul's going to wear a Noah Gregor jersey, or I'm going to buy him a Noah Gregor jersey, sorry, for him to wear to games. And if Noah Gregor gets another hat trick, he has to wear it to every single game he goes to next season. So I'm hoping Noah Gregor gets a hat trick. Can you imagine he gets a hat trick on an empty netter? I don't care how, just how many. I hope he gets it. I believe that's going to do it for our show tonight. Thank you all for the comments. Be sure to like and subscribe if you are not already. Be sure to smash that share button, ring the bell. Do all the things, the internet things, to make us better and more Sharks fans come and join us. Because I feel like we have a very good group of people here. It's fun in the comments. We started a fantasy hockey league. We've seen a lot of you people in person at games. I think it's really cool, the community that we built here, and it's exciting. And it's always exciting. Believe me, me and Paul are very friendly. We usually wear our Fin Factor stuff out. It's really exciting when people come up to us like, oh, the Fin Factor, we love you guys. And it's like, oh, thanks. Like, it's, I don't want to be famous. I just think it's cool that we have, we're pretty down to earth people. So, it's cool to meet people and share a common like in liking the Sharks. So, and we're also not, we're not as negative as some other people. So, so yeah, it's we have a good time and we have fun and we're happy to do this and happy that you guys are involved and along for the ride. So thank you for super producer Jason and Paul in the comments. I'm Aaron and we will see you for a season recap next week. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.